America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Hoffman Show on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Anthony is a happy man because he gets to play the song again. He is got his left hand up. He is beaming, frankly, from ear to ear. Anthony, you're just a happy fella today.
Happy, Craig. I haven't felt this way in so long. Thanks. I'm 28 years of age. 28 years old. And, I'm extremely happy, man.
I get it. The football team that we talk about every single day, the football team you've been rooting for your whole life, they're good at football. Just how good? I say we start breaking it down. You know how we do on a Monday. It's time for First and 10.
It's time to get the breakdown started. 1, 2, 3, 4. First up, 10 observations.
Stuck his eye and just boom, put him right on the ground.
It's first and 10.
Well, hot damn, would you look at that? Would you look at what the Washington Commanders did yesterday? They did something that is the stated goal of what they want to be. And that is where we start the breakdown. Not a win, Anthony, but let's go ahead and hit that number one.
Number one,
they broke the Arizona Cardinals spirit. They flat out had them looking mystified, gassed, just not interested by the end of that game. And that's human nature when the score is 42-14. But to take a team like Arizona, who is like Washington in many, many, many ways, and that is to say, they are a team that is focused on the process, and their process is about being fast. It's about being physical. It's about playing consistently hard. It is about bringing an energy and a mentality to the game. And Jonathan Gannon, by and large, has done a good job of that over the last year and change. This is a team that, by the way, beat the crap out of the Rams 2 weeks ago. They did what they just got done to them, to Washington. Like, this is not a bad football team. They have some serious problems, it looks like, defensively. Offensively, though, they put up 40 just a couple of weeks ago. And they rolled down the field on that first drive. And then Washington was like, all right, you had your fun. Here we go. And, yeah, Tressway did punt. Yeah, Jaden Daniels did throw his first interception of his career. Didn't matter. They just kept rolling. And they just kept finishing. And they just kept pounding the ever-living daylight out of the Arizona Cardinals until there was nothing left of them by the end. And to see the Commanders so quickly get where Dan Quinn wants them from a play-style standpoint, the thing they have talked about caring about more than anything else this season, is beautiful. It is refreshing to say, hey, these things that you say you care about, you actually are accomplishing them. And you also see why they care about them, because they lead to winning. This is still the same level of talent football team that played in week one and got dump trucked by Tampa. This is the same team that battled from a talent standpoint to barely beat a kickerless New York Giants team in week two. It's the same team that 6 days prior had obviously done really well, but giving up a bunch of big plays, and thus the final score was fairly close on Monday Night Football. And we kind of looked past, oh, the defense, because the offense was so good. And on Sunday, it's the same talent. It is just playing better because everyone is playing with the intensity. Everyone is playing with the effort. And maybe it's not every snap, and there are certain things that still need to be cleaned up. Obviously, giving up nearly 6 yards a carry is not ideal. There are things offensively that they're going to want to do better, I'm sure, although good luck identifying them easily. They put up 42. But they have now established a baseline of what it means to put on that uniform and go out and perform on a Sunday. And if they do it at this level, which is going to be hard, it doesn't mean they figured it out forever and we're on a start the decade run of competitiveness now. Like, that'd be sick, but that's unreasonable to say with any kind of confidence. But they showed you what they can do. That playing this hard, playing this way, can take another team who has the same exact goals, and if you do it better than them, you can break them. You can absolutely destroy their spirit. And that is what happened yesterday. And it was, for if you were rooting for the team in burgundy and gold, absolutely beautiful to watch.
Number two.
Of course, it helps when your rookie quarterback can't seem to do something wrong. Okay, sure. He made one bad throw that got picked. I haven't gotten a chance to watch back the full offensive tape yet. I'm sure I'll find a couple of snaps where he does something that's not perfect. But man, it's really easy to break someone, or it's a lot easier, I should say. I shouldn't say it's easy. It's easier to break someone's spirit in the way that the Commanders did when you are just consistently either inching forward or getting chunk yardage forward. You are constantly just the aggressor, attack. And they're able to do that because Jaden Daniels makes correct decisions and does so at a rate that is stunning. I texted with a couple of my buddies in the national media yesterday, just kind of get their feel for certain things. And, you know, you had some people talking about the processing speed and how incredibly impressed they are with him. And, you know, you have others talking about how detailed this offense is. You have the efficiency comes up, and it just comes back to the fact that Jaden is continually doing the right things. And I think what's been fun to watch, and we'll talk about this a little bit more next with the Cliff side of this equation, is they've adapted and evolved the offense week over week over week. And thus he has had to slash is, which one's chicken, which one's egg, I think is up for debate. But they week over week are watching their quarterback get better, right? This is not the same quarterback that we saw week one. And that's not to say that the kid we saw week one was bad. Like, he had a pretty nice debut. Definitely some things to be desired. Week two, hyper efficient, but no balls vertically down the field. Ton of screen passes. Like, okay, are they going to open it up? They get a couple of huge plays last week against Cincinnati. And then yesterday, he's just dicing the Arizona Cardinals from the pocket like he's been in the league for 12 years. Like, what was that? What it was awesome. He just was back there like, this is where the ball's supposed to go now. Zing. This is where the ball's supposed to go now. Zip. This is where the ball. Oh, crap. There's a guy coming. Let me fade back. Throw off platform as I fall backwards to Luke McCaffrey and the best throw he's made all season so far. Well, at least maybe the second best outside that touchdown to Terry where he gets smashed in the face against Cincinnati. But he's doing stuff from the pocket. Off schedule, he is looking to keep his eyes down the field. That doesn't mean he's never going to run, nor should it mean he never runs, but he's looking to throw first. It's not drop the eyes. It's, okay, I got to get out of here. Where can I find a play down the field? And there's a couple in this game. Like, there's one where he flips the ball to Zach Ertz over the middle. Week one, he runs that. And yardage-wise, it might not make that much of a difference. And in fact, there's a chance that he gives up a bigger play, or that he could have made a bigger play because he's so dynamic as a runner. Or he flips it to Ertz, and Ertz gets 8-9 yards. But, like, let's take the 8-9 yards, live to see the next down, and not take an extra hit in the middle of the open field. Like, that's just good, fastidious football. And Jaden is making these improvements in seemingly real time. And that's the thing that I think is so outstanding about his season so far, is he just hasn't really made the same mistake twice. And that's pretty ridiculous for a young quarterback, especially against the Arizona defense that has had some pretty solid stretches this year, had played fairly disciplined, had played fairly, you know, confusing schemes and structures and things that can be a little trippy for a quarterback to figure out. And Jaden was just like, yeah, I'm good. I got this. And they dropped 42 on him.
Number three.
And it helps when your offensive coordinator seems to have one hell of a plan. And Cliff Kingsbury stays in his bag. Your best assistant coach, arguably, in the NFL through 4 weeks. You can make an easy argument for Cliff Kingsbury. The way that he has guided Jaden into this season, the way that he is setting him up to shine, the way he is getting his playmakers the football in space, the way that the run game is meshing with the pass game, the way that Jaden has been, you know, put in different situations that he is very clearly ready for. And then there's just like some of the more schematic stuff where like Arizona defensively plays a lot of too high stuff. And they try to zone it up, and it's like, okay, we're going to have guys to cover over here and guys to cover over here. Okay, well, then we're just going to overload one side of that, and then you're not going to have enough guys to cover anymore, and you're going to have some other guys that are over on the other side of the field just kind of scratching their ear going, hey, I don't got anything to do over here, coach. The play seems to be over there. Create numbers advantages, and that makes things really easy because ultimately someone's going to be open, and it's Jaden's job to find that guy, and he did time and time and time again. And then you have just this feeling during the game. It's like, is it going to be short? Is it going to be long? Is it going to be left? Is it going to be right? Two backs in the backfield. Is it McNichols? Is it Robinson? Are they going to run inside, outside? There's such a meticulous use of every blade of grass. Actually, here's a better way to put it. Every blade of grass is under threat at all times. You have to respect everything. And that means you can kind of bow up against nothing. You overload to stop the run. One, you can only overload to stop the run on one side of a run. That's immediately negated by the fact that Jaden Daniels can pull the ball on any shotgun run or boot on any anything under center. And now if you've overloaded to the left, you fake a handoff to the left, Jaden goes right, and now you got one of the most dangerous players in the NFL in space, and that's not good for a defense. You also expose yourself on the back end coverage-wise, and he's hit shots down the field. If you put, you know, more guys into coverage, they obviously run the ball right down your throat. And it's just beautiful the way Cliff has managed that, and he deserves a ton of credit, the detail they play with, and I also think that's the other part, right? This is a well-taught offense, not just a well-designed offense. I was listening to Colt McCoy on John Kimes' show last week, and Colt talked about how, you know, Cliff will say, like, hey, if I told you to line up on the inside, you know, on the inside of the numbers, line up on the inside of the numbers, and they have a way of getting that across and making guys understand where they need to be so they do it exactly right. And that maximizes each play. Each play is designed to work, but you have to run it the way it's designed for it to work. And they are running the things as designed. Guys are hitting their marks. They're doing their things. They're dialed in on the details in a way that is really impressive and is going to obviously help this team win football games. And that they have done so far. They are 3-1. Heading into the second quarter of the season. We have a defense to talk about and a couple of guys that deserve some major mega shout outs. And one big conclusion to wrap up our first and 10 next Huffman show. We're on the Team 980 and always live as well on the free Odyssey app.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Coming up at 4:30, we take your calls at 301-230-0980 as it is Tell the Truth Monday. Oh, this is going to be fun. I can't wait to see how wildly optimistic some folks are, or if anybody's changed their tune, maybe pessimistic, turn optimistic. Also, we don't have to go on a pessimism optimism scale. That's like you tell the truth about the game, and we'll see what you got to say coming up at 4:30. Right now, though, let's continue with our first and 10 observations from the game. We got three big ones out of the way, so let's roll through our quick hitters, starting with
number four.
The communication and crispness on defense took enormous leaps in this game. I will point you to the final drive that Arizona had of the first half, second quarter, where they ultimately turned the ball over on downs. They wind up getting the sack on the fourth down. And I'll go one communication, one crispness. The crispness actually happens on the third down right before the fourth down. And they get a completion on this play, but John Allen and Frankie Louvu run a stunt. And if it wasn't quick game that Kyler reads really well and gets the ball out, Louvu just destroys Kyler. Like, he winds up running past him because Kyler got the ball out that quick. But the 1-2, bang, I'm around. John Allen picking the tackle. Like, it was beautifully executed. And you saw more examples of twists and games and just things getting executed really well up front in this game. And as the game went, it got even better and better. And that is pretty freaking big time for a defense that has struggled with that stuff so far this year, to just be crisp. And then also individuals, right? Like Jeremy Chinn on the first drive of the game, or maybe it was the second drive, just absolutely firing like a missile on a quick game and getting a tackle 3-4 yards ahead of the sticks. Like there's just a general crispness to how this defense is playing that showed up. Then while it wasn't perfect and there's still a lot you can work on, you're starting to see it come together in a major way. The communication piece on that fourth down stop, like they're talking, they're chirping as Arizona gets set up. The front's making sure they're aligned. The back end's working. And Sainer still is signaling and making sure that everyone's on the same page. Receiver goes in motion. He continues to talk. And then post-snap, the communication's great there. You know, switch release by the two receivers. And instead of, you know, Keystone Cops, we ran into each other. We both followed one guy. Someone's wide open on a fourth down. And even if it's a gain of 7, it was fourth and 1. Nope. Easy pass off. I believe it's Forbes and Sainer still. They lock it down. Kyler goes to throw, realizes he's got nothing there, and eventually gets sacked. I believe it's by Dorrance Armstrong, who does a nice job sticking with his rush, hits a little hesitation move, and then gets around the edge to chase Kyler down. Just really, really good stuff on the communication front. You're not seeing the coverage busts that you saw earlier in the season that we saw for the last bunch of years. It's something that, you know, hey, in previous years, oh, it'll take time, and then it never gets fixed. Not to say that they've had their last coverage bust of the year. Teams are good. They'll put them in conflict, and eventually someone will mess something up. But we've got a couple weeks for that one, and that's a hell of a job. Sometimes you're going to get beat, and that happened. You know, the touchdown by Marvin Harrison on the first drive, like that's just a beautiful throw and catch. Sometimes you get beat. Jamar Chase, sometimes you get beat. But don't beat yourself, and this defense is continuously doing a better job of that.
Number five.
Probably because they're trying harder. And you know, effort's always something that's a little funny to talk about, because there's giving like, hey, that guy's not out there loafing, but is he giving it the extra? Is he really unleashing the full potential of himself on each and every snap? And you saw it in a just continually elevated way over the past couple of weeks, culminating with this performance. Louvu's had it, but he has a couple of plays in this game where he's just throwing his body around, just smashing into people, bringing the physicality. Wagner's pursuit, you see it. Chinn and Quan Martin, their pursuit. BSJ, even Emmanuel Forbes. It was like maybe his first play of the game in the middle of the second quarter, you know, on a run fit. Yeah, did he have a couple of plays that I think once he gets back in the rhythm, he'll start to make in this game? Yeah, missed a tackle super late in the game. game, whatever. But like, he gets out there on the edge and he's got a defense or an offensive, I think it was a tackle guard, someone, I don't remember, but an offensive lineman pulling out. And instead of trying to take that guy on, he sets the edge. He dives at his feet, turns the run play back into the rest of his teammates. And that's, he did his job on that play. And so there, you're seeing a hustle and a pointedness to the effort level that is a game changer. And you don't believe the game has changed. Look at the results. They just gave up only 14 points. But there's one guy in particular who I think we deserves a shout out on this front.
Number six.
And that is Jonathan Allen. Allen, to this point, has been, you know, had some okay games, had some, I think, much to be desired games, but he hadn't had a really productive game yet. And a game where you're just like, oh, damn, look at John Allen go. This was the game where you go, oh, damn, look at John Allen go. Some of his rushes, the interior pressure he gets, he and Duron played off each other much better. Even at times where they didn't nail a twist or a stunt, they kind of rush even together up the front and just push the pocket. I think that they both took on double teams better. But the reason that John stuck out is, I highlighted this with Johnny Newton last week, times that he's making plays 14, 15 yards down the field. John Allen had a couple of those in this game. And like, there's one in particular where he's on the backside of a run and he does his job, like, you know, getting down, you know, seeing where the, you know, make sure this gap doesn't get too big. And then he disengages from the blocker because the run gets out the front side. Someone else doesn't get where they need to be. And he makes the play like coming from the backside of a run to chase down a running back 9 yards down the field. Those are big freaking plays. Like, once you get into the secondary, all bets are off. You're one tackle missing from getting a touchdown at that point, typically on a run play. And so if you have players that can chase that stuff down from behind, you might be saving points. And John Allen did that a couple of times. His ability and his willingness, or even more so than his ability, to get downfield and make plays. Nevertheless, he makes a couple of plays in the backfield, has the sack. So John Allen, his most productive game in the season by far. I think it was third or fourth in the team in tackles. And not that that's going to happen every week, but dang, I hope it happens more weeks than it doesn't moving forward, because that means this defense is playing at a much higher level when John Allen not just shows up when you flip on the tape, but shows up when you open the stat sheet.
Number seven.
Benjamin St. Juice deserves a round of applause. A couple of round of applauses for guys real quick. BSJ was given a job that I frankly did not think he was going to, which was, you're going to travel with Marvin Harrison. And we know Benjamin's at times struggles facing number one receivers, and that we often say it's not fair to him because he shouldn't be asked to be a number one corner. That's just not who he is as a player. And he gave up a couple of passes, but all in all, like four for, I think it was like 49 or whatever it was. And the touchdown, I don't think was on Benjamin. Even if it was such a good throw and catch. Like, defender played that well. You tip your hat on a fourth down for that kind of play, that opening drive touchdown. Like, by and large, he did great on with that assignment. So kudos to Benjamin St. Juice stepping up. You know, you probably didn't notice him that much, and that's how you want it for a corner, especially when he's traveling with a number one wide receiver.
Number eight.
Another kudos for the defense, and then I'll get back to the offense for my last round of kudos, and then one big thought to wrap up here. Kyler Murray only had one carry. It was on the first drive of the game, and it was for 3 yards. That part of his game terrified me. His ability to get out of the pocket, kill you as a runner, nevertheless as a passer, and they did a phenomenal job with their rush lanes and their discipline and, you know, their coverage on the back end, keeping eyes where they needed, everything to make sure that he did not get loose. And that is a huge reason why they won this game. So you look at stats that matter. That's one for me. Kyler Murray, one carry on the game.
Number eight. Number nine.
There we go, Anthony. That was that false number brought to you by the Hoffman Show Accounting Department, right, Anthony?
Yes.
Yeah. I just inspired him to miss numbers. Okay. Number nine. Guys who matter blocking. John Bates, what a player. There's a couple where he just drives dudes out the club, just straight up to the sideline, like, you are not involved in this play anymore, buddy, you come with me. Noah Brown had a couple of blocks where you're like, what are you doing that far downfield? Not because he like ran downfield and got ahead of a play, because he just like on the backside of a run where he just on the all 22 for the end zone angle, where it's not actually all 22, it's the end zone angle, and sometimes the wide receivers get blocked out. The play would go away from Noah Brown, and all of a sudden, Noah Brown would block his guy into the frame. Like, he was in the right spot. That guy wasn't going to make a play, but he had just moved his guy so far towards the play side and was still engaged with him that you're like, dang. And he did have a couple where he's out front and extends plays another 5-6 yards. And last but not least, Jeremy McNichols. We saw the big block in pass pro on Monday night. He had a couple more of those in the game, but he also gets out ahead of Jaden Daniels on a couple of runs, ahead of Brian Robinson on a couple of runs. They used him as a lead blocker. And I'm like, let's get this dude snaps when Eckler gets back with Austin on the field. I like him as a potential runner. He runs harder than hell. We saw that on the touchdown run and a couple of other carries that he had. I think he had a fourth down conversion at one point. So we saw that how he runs hard with the ball, but he also blocks just as hard without it. And so, yeah, let's use him as a quasi fullback along with Ben Sinnott as a different way to get some of those fullback advantages with different personnel groupings on the field. And last but not least,
number 10,
we have to talk about this team differently now. Like, I was resilient to this, resistant to this idea, but when you're 3-1 and the rest of the division doesn't look very good, I don't think that we need to say they're the favorite. I mean, they, based off what we've seen so far, yes, they are the favorites, because the Eagles have looked really rough. The Cowboys have major issues. The Giants are the Giants, and this team has looked fantastic offensively to a level that you have to put them in that conversation based off merit. But realistically, like, do I think all of a sudden you talk Super Bowl or NFC Championship game for this team? No, it's too early still, and I'm reserving my right to be patient and see what happens without getting too far ahead of my skis. But realistically, they've shown a capability and an ability to compete with anybody. I know they've beaten up on some bad defenses statistically, but also at this point in the year, what they've done to those defenses impacts these statistics a lot. Maybe by the end of the year, we look back and be like, dang, the Bengals, the Bucks, the Cardinals, they really are that bad defensively. But they've also, all three of those teams have also had some solid games. You know, so the fact that they've consistently, they being the Commanders, produced, I think shows a lot more about them than it, they're the consistent thing, not the other team being bad. So ultimately, we have to open our minds here to what is possible for this team, which is, I think, a playoff run. Now, is that the most likely outcome? No. Is that what I'm going to predict? No. But the ceiling has been raised. The idea that they could be this year's Houston is more than on the table. The idea, frankly, that they could be better than last year's Texans, I think, is also on the table, because CJ took a little bit to get going. Jaden did not. Jaden has hit the ground running. And this team is going to face adversity. This is not going to be this smooth sailing, but they've already gotten themselves out ahead, and it's going to be really fun to see what they can do over the next month, where they have 3 home games and a trip to Baltimore, so they don't have to leave the state of Maryland for any of their games. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, we take your calls at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. It is a Tell the Truth Monday. So your truth about the Commanders next on the Team 980. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app, streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. Taking your calls now because it is time for Tell the Truth Monday. Wait, Anthony, we have an open now for Tell the Truth Monday, don't we? I made one. Didn't we?
Yes, we do. Hold on.
Well, I just remembered that. So that's on me as much as it is on you, because we didn't get a chance. What happened last week was we made it, I think, during the show. We put the finishing touches on it during the show. And so we didn't get a chance to play it until we took calls at 6:30 for Tell the Truth Monday. So we want to make sure the folks here at 4:30 get the proper introduction. And especially because I think last week, frankly, the 4:30 calls weren't that good, and the 6:30 calls were. And maybe it's our fault because the introduction wasn't there. And thus, it is time with that introduction for the introduction to Tell the Truth Monday.
It's Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
Call us now at 301-230-0980 to tell the truth about the Commanders.
You can't handle the truth!
Or hit the comment section at the Team 980 on YouTube.
There you go. All right, so we'll check the YouTube comments here in just a few, but let's take some calls, starting with John in Oklahoma. John, get us started on this Tell the Truth Monday.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm going to tell you, I picked them to win 9 games at the start of this season. And I'm telling you now, I'm going to pick them to win 10 and finally win 10, and it's been a long time. And I've been a fan for 50-something years, and I've drank the Kool-Aid for the last 30, like, you know, most dedicated fans and stayed with them. The team name, you know, I tell you what, that tore me up. I tell the truth, that was the closest I ever come to dislike. Man, I'm setting it down. I'm putting it up, man. But I didn't. And now that we got us a quarterback and this new ownership, coaching, man, I tell you something, it almost, you know, brings tears to your eyes, man. I mean, I'm so happy, you know, that finally true fans, man, you know, they've been waiting a long time. And, man, I just feel good about this, man. I really do. It's been a long time. We've been sitting at a big table, a very big table. And, you know, it's going to be rewarding, I think. I think this kid right here it's got all the tools. 55 games in college. I never even knew anybody played 55 games. I think that's one of the big reasons he's so poised and ready. And what I like about this kid as much as anything I can think of right now is the number one thing quarterback I think should do is take care of the football. And I think he does a super job of that right there. And, hey, man, don't look now, but we're on a winning streak. 3 games. And if you win 3 games.
Yeah.
But if you win 3 out of 4 of your ball game, that's 750%. You're bound to make the playoffs every year. And I know there's another game thrown in there now, so it's not 4 quarters. It's a little more. But, hey, man, I couldn't be more excited. And, I mean, I'm just tickled to death like a little kid. And finally, my grandkids that I've been telling about this team, you know, how much we love it and everything, how good they could be and how good they were. I mean, man, they're finally like, I mean, they're excited. They're like, I can't, you know, we're just jumping through the roof out here in Oklahoma, man. And I can't wait. I just can't wait to see what the future holds, man. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Okay. You got it, John. Thank you. And I got to say, you know, I often keep a very neutral look on things, because that's the way I came to this. I'm have a journalism background. I came to DC as a reporter. Most of y'all knew me first as a beat reporter, and then someone like, oh, his talk show is decent. Let's give it a shot. And hopefully now we've gone from decent to good. Hopefully we've made improvements over the 2+ years doing this too. But all jokes aside, like, I'm so happy for fans like John who have stuck with it, because I don't know if that could have been me. Like, just straight up as a fan, like, I don't know whether I have that in me to go. And especially, it's one thing to say, like, oh, I used to like the team. They were bad for a long time. I stopped caring and I came back. And if that's you, like, this is not a shot at anyone or say there was a right or wrong way to do it. We all cope in different ways. And sometimes the best way to cope is to disengage and disassociate. And just to go, like, you know what? I'm not going to invest in the team because Dan Snyder, for instance, ruined it. Or whoever else that you want, Bruce Allen, who pick your goober from the last 25 years, right? But the fans that continued to care and were willing to buy in and were willing to say in September every year, let's see how it goes. That was a lot of pain and that was a lot of struggle. And I see y'all, and like, I'm really, really genuinely happy for those of us to get to cover, that have to cover it. And like, this is our job. And you know, it's just a lot better to go to work every day. My wife has remarked that like my general disposition is a lot better because the team is better. Cause I know that coming into work every day, when I open up the phone lines, it's not just walking without a suit into a hornet's nest, because how else were y'all supposed to feel? I'm really happy for the longtime fans who have given so much to this team, who have continued to care, who make it, in large, large part what it's going to be as it continues to be good. That joy, that release. And, you know, I think about when the Caps won the cup and being out on F Street and seeing grown men cry. And like, I always had that thought of like, what happens if the Commanders get there? What is that scene going to be like? And we don't, you know, I'm not going to get ahead of myself and be like, and we're on that path. But we are. I don't know how long that path is going to be, but they're on the right path. And as long as they can hit the, you know, the turns coming up and not veer off, then we might find out. and that'd be really exciting. All right, we're a little behind after first and 10, so we'll take a break, come back, but we do have a ton of calls to get to, and we'll get to them next on the Tell the Truth Monday here on the Hoffman Show. Tell the Truth Monday on the Hoffman Show, Team 980. Give us a call, 301-230-0980. Let's keep the calls rolling as you tell the truth about what you saw in the game yesterday, the 42-14 win for the Washington Commanders. Let's keep things rolling with Dontell. Dontell, thanks for holding through the break. You are on the Hoffman Show.
What's going on, Hoffman? It's been a minute.
What's going on, dude? Appreciate you calling in.
I just want to point out two things real quick on this Tell the Truth Monday. The first one, I'm putting it out there. Well, both of them, I want to see your take on it. The first one was, she and the day was saying that how Jaden, one of his bad plays, was holding onto the ball too long with the touchdown for Terry McLaurin. When truth be told, if you watch that play over again, if he hits him right out of the break, he don't hit him. That's a batted down ball because that lineman is right there ready to bat the ball down, which is why Jaden held onto that ball and waited a second before Terry could get into that gap, and he had a throwing lane, which for a rookie quarterback, that is very intelligent. So I was much impressed over that. But to get to the defensive part, and I wanted to ask you about is, I got to tell the truth. I don't know how this day goes if it weren't for the play calling of the Arizona Cardinals, because they abandoned the run, and they were killing us on the run. So I want to know what you think about all this.
So two things. One, I just watched the playback in the break because I saw your call on the screener, and I was like, let me make sure I got the all-22 look at this. I actually think it's the linebacker that he waits to clear, not the lineman, to wait the throwing lane. He can get that ball up over the line because Terry's far enough away. But Kaiser White, the linebacker, I think is kind of in that lane. And I think he actually, it's hard to tell with the helmet stripe on the tape, but I think he actually kind of takes a quick peek at Jeremy McNichols coming out of the backfield, which moves White out of the lane. Either way, it's probably a tiniest bit touch late, but also he's clearly waiting for something. He knows he has the time, and he knows Terry, like, there's plenty of room for Terry to go. So I think it's a great play by Jaden. And to your point, your larger point of, like, to watch him, you know, manipulate the pocket, manipulate defenders in real time is pretty big time. On your second point, I don't know that Arizona actually abandoned the run that much. I actually thought they still did a good job of getting some runs in there, stealing some yards in the second half. But eventually, like, they're getting their asses kicked. They got to pass the football. And so, yeah, if it's different from a play calling standpoint in a close game versus a blowout. But you got to remember, because they got that fourth down stop at the end of the half, turned that into a field goal, come out in the second half and score the touchdown, it's 24-7. Like, before Arizona gets the ball in the second half, they don't have time to run the football at that point. So it really does show you the importance of time, score, situation, and game flow, to use a term that Logan uses a lot. And I think Washington did a great job of controlling that and taking a heavier even dose of the run out of the Cardinals' playbook.
Dude, I guess that they would win six games this year, and now, and I know I'm bad because now I don't see us losing five games, so I'm taking 11 plus.
Wow. Okay, Dontell, swinging on the extremes. Dontell, appreciate the call. Thank you. It's Tell the Truth Monday here on the Hoffman Show. Let's go to Mill. Mill, thanks for calling. You are on the Hoffman Show. What's your truth on this Monday?
Okay, how's it going, Hoffman? Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm not going to lie, I love it when Anthony, like, starts the show off with our anthem.
At the same time, I would say...
I think we're having phone issues here with Mill. Let's put Mill... Oh, no, I got you now. Well, go ahead and fire away.
Yeah, sorry about that. So I was going to say, I mean, we definitely found our quarterback. And like I said, his completion percentage, the being, you know, that group of Tom Brady, Drew Brees, and, you know, Geno, and it's just crazy. I would say a shout out to Jeremy McNichols for kind of stepping up in Austin Eckler's absence. At the same time, you know, just giving credit to Joe Witt Jr. and the defense, you know, with, Dorrance Armstrong. Like you said, Craig, you know, Allen stepped up, Louvu with the strip sack fumble. And Cliff Kingsbury, man, he was in his bag. And just a couple of more key points. It's just like JD was so he was just still calm even after the interception, just to come back and just be so poised. You know, I know we keep using that word, but it's just I mean, it's crazy to see that. And we're at the top of the division. I mean, 3-1. I just really don't see anybody that's like us right now. And if we really kind of just steadfast and just keep it game by game, we really can be some contenders going. You know, I'm not saying playoffs, but like I said, just game by game. Left hand up, we are the Commanders. thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Mill. Thank you. And, yeah, I mean, right now, I think this is what happens, right, is you give praise and then people are like, well, you said this if the things change. Right now, there is no one in this division that can compete with Washington. There's no one that is playing consistently as well, team total football, that has played as well as Washington through four games. That I want to say it means nothing, but it guarantees nothing for the next four and the four after that and the five after that. This is not how football works. It is a week-to-week league. You know, knock on wood that the health situation stays relatively similar to what it is now, where you have all your key pieces. Like, I hate to say it, but like the Chiefs season fundamentally changed yesterday because they lost Rashee Rice. They got to figure that out. I'd like to figure it out if I'm them and I have Patrick Mahomes, but they still have to actually do the work. And that's ultimately what it comes down to, right? The rest of the season for Washington is about continuing to do the work. And yesterday especially, but really all four of these games, it just the work didn't work as well versus Tampa. And there was definitely, I think defensively against Tampa, New York, and even to an extent Cincinnati, there's a lot more work to be done. What they did yesterday is like, okay, they did the work. It's not always going to be that good in terms of the result, but that was a pretty special performance, and it shows what they're capable of. And I think what they're capable of is maybe a little bit more than most people thought they would be capable of this quickly based off the talent on the field. And frankly, to ground this out here, what people thought of their coordinators, listening to the national media talk about Kliff is genuinely hilarious, because a lot of people are just like, this is not the dude that I thought he was. And I'm like, I get it on some level, but I also think that maybe people look at the end in Arizona and kind of forget how good they, like how many opportunities he created for them, and that they had some talent issues. He didn't do a good job managing the relationships in the building, so he wasn't getting the most out of guys, which is something he has talked about in a good piece that Sam Fortier did last week and a couple of his press conferences. He's mentioned this as well. And instead, now you have a guy who's completely locked in to his players and completely locked into what he needs to do as an offensive coordinator, not balancing the rest of the responsibilities as a head coach. And you're seeing why a lot of the people that all the same people consider the best minds in offense and football all look at Kliff as a guy that they see as on their level. And so there was no guarantees it was going to go this way, but it is interesting, and why I was much more open-minded to the fact that Kliff might be really good at this, because it's one thing to look at what he's done, but it's another thing to understand what he's capable of. And clearly, like the Kyles and the Shawns and the Kevins, like any of these guys that have worked with or talked ball with Kliff go, that dude's one of us. And I don't think that that should have been taken as lightly as it was. And he is proving that, even though he goes about it differently, you know, using some different weapons, using some different clubs than they use to get around the course, if you will. Kliff has shown that he's every bit of that so far this season. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And when we get back, it is a Monday at 5 o'clock, so our pal Michael Phillips stops by for Not My Beat.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.